Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lava.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we are going to read some news.
Our system for recording our interview, which happened last night in Lakeville,
didn't work right, so we couldn't.
It's too bad because it's an excellent interview, and
yeah.
I feel sad about it because a gentleman did a great, great job. He gave us a great interview.
We'll have another
With him that we'll be able to bring you. I hope so, because I feel disappointed because he wrote an excellent book. And he gave us an informative interview.
Yeah, he really did. It was really good.
Maybe you could tell the folks what the name of the book is.
It was called The Strength of the Pack.
Pack, right.
And it was about the DEA. Some of you who are listening tonight, you may have caught the Q103 WQQQ. I posted it on my Facebook page yesterday. So as for some people might have been able to catch it. Looks like some might have from the comments there. But, we can do that. Let's start off with a little YouTube video on how to cut carbon emissions.
Oh, that should be interesting. Let's put that
in. Yeah, I'm curious myself.
Right, kids. Just before you go, there's a great idea in the air that I'd like to remember.
No, this is terrible. This is the one where they blew everybody up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
Oh, that was absolutely horrible.
I'll have to see that another time.
It was the absolute worst thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shit. No, that's terrible.
Very offensive ad.
Oh, extremely so. Extreme. And, they blew up children, they blew up people.
Oh, that's terrible. Why did they do that?
Because they asked, how many people are going to help prevent carbon emissions, and they raised their hand and said, some raised their hand, and others said, those that raised their hand that they didn't, the teacher blew them all up, okay, and it was a bloody mess, everything, it was like a massacre, and then they press a button, and then they go on to another guy,
and another guy,
it was really sick, it was one of the most sick things I ever saw, they're saying that. I mean, it's about depopulation is what it is. That's what it really is.
I don't have a fear of those bastards. I want to expose them all. What's that all about?
I don't know. I hate it when they do that surprise video. Why not?
And I hasten to tell you that the precious lives that were lost in the World Trade Center was a cover. A cover for a war that had been planned to bring a pipeline to Afghanistan, to bring oil from that region, oil owned by Unocal, of which Dick Cheney is a stockholder. Let me just finish. Don't be frightened for me. You better be frightened for yourself.
This is a video, but
because some stuff is going down in America right now as we speak. That all our lives are in danger right now. And I've got to sound the alarm, brothers and sisters. I don't care nothing about my life. It's your life that I want to save. Listen. Now that the bank that prints money is in the hands of private interest, the idea is to push up and inspire the government to borrow. How do you do it? Get America into war. The war in Europe started in 1914. And by 1917, under a lie about the Lusitania being sunk by German subs, the American people were called into all was. Well, this is heavy, man. I mean, you can't believe how wicked, how low down this rotten. Wait a minute. You can't believe how wicked these people are to play games with your lives and the lives of your babies. Create a war just to get more money, to charge more interest, and send your babies to die for bullshit.
Controversial, but kind of tells it like it is.
He speaks out.
Tries. But anyway, this
winter
is kind of scary. Yeah, this one is very scary. This is the coldest winter in 1,000 years is what we're gonna have this year. That's kind of bizarre.
Why we have all those acorns on the ground?
It must be, huh? So it must be Mother Nature taking care of its
little critters.
Okay. Coldest winter in 1,000 years on its way.
After the record heat wave,
Russian TV.
After the record heat wave this summer, Russia's weather seems to have acquired a taste for the extreme. Forecasters say this winter could be the coldest Europe has seen in the last 1,000 years. The change is reportedly connected with the speed of the Gulf Stream, which has shrunk in half in just the last couple of years. Polish scientists say it means the stream will not be able to compensate for the cold from the Arctic winds. According to them, when the stream is completely stopped, a new ice age will begin in Europe.
Oui. Although so far the results have been lower temperatures, for example, in central Russia, they are a couple of degrees below the norm. Although the forecast for the next month is only 70% accurate, I find the cold winter scenario quite likely, said Vadim
Zavolochekhinov,
a leading specialist at the Phobos Weather Center, told Russian TV. We will be able to judge with more certainty come November. As for last summer's heat, statistical models that meteorologists use to draw up long-term forecasts aren't able to predict anomaly, like that.
In order to meet the harsh winter ahead on Moscow, authorities are drawing up measures to help Muscovites survive the extreme cold. Most of all, the government is concerned with homeless people who risk freezing to death if the forecast of the meteorologist comes true. Social services and police have been ordered to take the situation under control, even if they have to force the homeless to take help. Moscow authorities have also started checking air conditioning systems in all socially important buildings. Air conditioning.
All the conditioners are being carefully cleaned from the remains of the summer smog.
Oh, okay.
They had a horrible time
with
the fires.
All the fires. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah. Oh. You know what? I'm going to do something here. I usually don't do it. Share it on my Facebook. All right. Let's go over here. Pathetic propaganda attempt to sell carbon tax as part of the war on terror.
Oh, that should be interesting. Let's
not very long. It's only 31 seconds.
Every minute Congress goes to pass a clean energy climate plan, our enemies get stronger. Every day, Iran gets $100 million richer, selling oil around the world and peddling hate. No more. A clean energy climate plan would cut our dependence on foreign oil in half and cut oil profits for hostile nations. But Congress needs to act, because every day they delay, our enemies get bolder.
What a bunch of BS that is.
Yeah. I mean, if you heard that, if you go back to the Tex Mars interview that we had, and it's about three weeks ago now, actually, they're in our archives.
What? Close it because it's raining.
It's in our archives. And
you might find that interesting.
We talked a great deal about the Gulf oil conspiracy, and it turns out that the Gulf Coast of the United States has the largest oil reserve in the world. Because they want the price of oil to go higher, but right now there's so much oil in the world that it's just we'll never lose it. We'll never get out of it. The prison industry in the United States, big business, or a new form of slavery.
Human rights organizations, as well as political and social ones, are condemning what they are calling a new form of inhumane exploitation in the United States, where they say a prison population of up to 2 million, mostly black and Hispanic, are working for various industries for a pittance for the tycoons who have invested in the prison industry. It has been like finding a pot of gold. They don't have to worry about strikes or paying unemployment insurance, vacations, or comp time. All their workers are full-time and never arrive late or are absent because of family problems. Moreover, if they don't like the pay of 25 cents an hour and refuse to work, they are locked up in isolation cells. The private contracting of prisoners for work fosters incentives to lock people up. Prisons depend on this income. Corporate stockholders who make money off prisoners' work lobby for longer sentences in order to expand their workforce. The system feeds itself, says a study by the Progressive Labor Party, which accuses the prison industry of being an imitation of Nazi Germany with respect to forced slave labor and concentration camps. That's disturbing.
Yeah, I can believe that. That's exactly what I was thinking.
There are approximately 2 million.
The prison industry.
No, Leo.
Yeah, the prison industry complex. This is where you ended right here. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the prison industry complex is one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. Its investors are on Wall Street. The multi-million-dollar industry has its own trade exhibitions,
conventions,
websites, and mail order internet catalogs. It also has direct advertising campaigns, architecture companies, construction companies, investment houses on Wall Street, plumbing supply companies, food supply companies, armed security, and padded cells in a large variety of colors.
According to the Left Business Observer, the federal prison industry produces 100% of all military helmets, ammunition belts, bulletproof vests, ID tags, shirts, pants, tents, bags,
and
canteens.
I had no idea.
Along with war supplies, prison workers supply 98% of the entire market for equipment assembly.
Services,
93% of paints and paintbrushes, 92% of stove assembly, 46% of body armor, 36% of home appliances, 30% of headphones, microphones, speakers, and 20% of office furniture. Airplane parts, medical supplies, and much more. Prisoners are even raising seeing eye dogs for blind people.
Holy Christ.
Crime goes down, jail population goes up. According to reports by human rights organizations, these are the factors that increase the profit potential for those who invest in the prison industry complex. Jailing persons convicted of nonviolent crimes and long prison sentences for possessions of microscopic quantities of illegal drugs. Federal law stipulates 5 years imprisonment without the possibility of parole for possession of 5 grams of crack or 3.5 ounces of heroin and 10 years for possession of less than 2 ounces of rock, cocaine, or crack. That's ridiculous.
Stupid.
Well, you could see that what's-her-name didn't get it.
No.
A sentence of 5 years for cocaine powder requires possession of 500 grams, 100 times more than the quantity of rock cocaine for the same sentence. Most of those who use cocaine powder are white, middle-class, or rich people, while mostly blacks and Latinos use rock cocaine. In Texas, a person may be sentenced for up to 2 years imprisonment for possessing 4 ounces of marijuana. Here in New York, the 1973 Nelson Rockefeller anti-drug law provides for a mandatory prison sentence of 15 years to life for possession of 4 ounces of any illegal drug.
My God. The passage in 13 states of the three strikes law, life in prison after being convicted of three felonies, made it necessary to build 20 new federal prisons. One of the most disturbing cases resulting from this measure was that of a prisoner who, for stealing a car and two bicycles, received 3 25-year sentences. Longer sentences. The passage of laws that require minimum sentencing without regard for circumstance. A large expansion of work by prisoners creating profits that motivate the incarceration of those people for longer periods of time. More punishment of prisoners so as to lengthen their sentences. Keep going.
History of prison labor in the United States. Prison labor has its roots in slavery. After the 1861-1865 Civil War, a system of hiring out prisoners was introduced in order to continue the slavery tradition. Freed slaves were charged with not carrying out their sharecropping commitments, cultivating someone else's land in exchange for part of the harvest, or petty thievery, which were almost never proven and were then hired out for cotton picking, working in mines, and building roads. From 1870 until 1910 in the state of Georgia, 88% of hired out convicts were black. In Alabama, 93% of hired out miners were black. In Mississippi, a huge prison farm similar to the old slave plantation replaced the system of hiring out convicts. The notorious Parchment Plantation existed until 1972.
During the post-Civil War period, Jim Crow racial segregation laws were imposed on every state. With legal segregation in schools, housing, marriages, and many other aspects of daily life, today a new set of markedly racist laws is imposing slave labor and sweatshops on a criminal justice system now known as the prison industry complex, comments the Left Business Observer. Who is investing? At least 37 states have legalized the contracting of prison labor by private corporations and mount their operations inside state prisons. The list of such companies contain the cream of U.S. corporate society: IBM, Boeing, Motorola, Microsoft, AT&T, Wireless, Texas Instrument, Dell Compact, Honeywell, Hewlett Packard, holy Christ, Lucent Technologies, Tricom, Intel, Northern Telecom, TWA, Nordstrom's, Revlon, Macy's, Pierre Cardin, Target Stores, and many more. All of these businesses are excited about the economic boom generation. I will never, ever set foot in a Target store again knowing this. Never. Or a Macy's. I will never buy from Pierre Cardin, Nordstrom's, Hewlett Packard, Honeywell, any of these, Dell, anything. I have a Dell system. I'll never buy another one. Hewlett Packard printer, never buy another one. All right? Unfortunately, I have AT&T. I'd love to get rid of it, but there's, you know, and we will
nothing
do that soon. We will try to do that soon. TWA, let's see. All of these businesses are excited about the boom generation of prison labor. Just between 1980 and 1994, profits went up from $392 million to $1.31 billion. Inmates at state penitentiaries generally receive the minimum wage for their work, but not all. In Colorado, they get about $2 an hour, well under the minimum. And in privately run prisons, they receive as little as 17 cents per hour for a maximum of 6 hours a day, the equivalent of $20 per month. The highest paying private prison in CCA in Tennessee, where prisoners receive 50 cents per hour for what they call highly skilled positions. At those rates, it is no surprise that inmates find the pay in federal prisons to be very generous. There, they can earn $1.25 an hour and work 8 hours a day and sometimes overtime. They can send home $200 to $300 a month.
Thanks to the prison labor, the United States is once again an attractive location for investment in work that was designated for third world labor markets. A company that operated a Mancaladora assembly plant in Mexico near the border closed down its operation there and relocated to San Quentin Prison in California. In Texas, a factory fired its 150 workers and contracted the services of prison workers from the private Lockhart, Texas prison, where circuit boards are assembled for companies like IBM and Compaq. Oregon State Representative Kevin Mannix recently urged Nike to cut its production in Indonesia and bring it to his state, telling him the shoe manufacturer that there won't be any transportation costs. We're offering you competitive prison labor here.
Unbelievable. All right, and I got a, wait. They got a prisoners in adult private prisons from 1987 to
2001.
They went from zero.
Practically.
Okay.
To
150,000, yeah, in 2001. Private prisons. The prison privatization boom began in the 1980s under the governments of, guess who, Ronald fucking Reagan and asshole Bush Sr., but reached its height in 1990 under William Clinton, when Wall Street stocks were selling like hotcakes. Clinton's program for cutting the federal workforce resulted in the Justice Department's contracting of private prison corporations, the incarceration of undocumented workers, and high-security inmates.
Private prisons are the biggest business in the prison industry complex. About 18 corporations guard 10,000 prisoners in 27 states. The two largest are Correctional Corporation of America and Wackenhut, which work together to control 75%. Private prisons receive a guaranteed amount of money for each prisoner, independent of what it costs to maintain each one. According to Russell Barras, a private prison administrator in Virginia, the secret to low operating costs is having a minimal number of guards for the maximum number of prisoners. The CCA has an ultra-modern prison in Lawrenceville, Virginia, where five guards on day shift and two at night watch over 750 prisoners. In these prisons, inmates may get their sentences reduced for good behavior, but for any infraction, they get 30 days added, which means more profits for CCA. According to the study of New Mexico prisons, it was found that CCA inmates lost good behavior time at a rate 8 times higher than those in state prisons.
Man, it's like Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Profit, importing and exporting inmates. Profits are so good that now there is a new business, importing inmates with long sentences, meaning the worst criminals. When a federal judge ruled that overcrowding in Texas prisons was cruel and unusual punishment, the CCA signed contracts with sheriffs in poor counties to build and run new jails and share of the profits. According to December 1998 Atlantic Monthly magazine article, this program was backed by investors from Merrill Lynch, Shearson Lehman, American Express, and Allstate, and the operation was scattered all over rural Texas. That state's governor, Ann Richards, followed the example of Mario Cuomo in New York and built so many state prisons that the market became flooded, cutting into private prison profits.
After a loss signed by Clinton in 1996...
You liked that one.
Yeah,
I did. You thought she was good. She's nothing but a whore. Like Mario Cuomo.
Ending court supervision and decisions caused overcrowding and violent, unsafe conditions in federal prison. Private prison corporations in Texas began to contact other states whose prisons were overcrowded, offering a rent-a-cell service in the CCA prison located in small towns in Texas. The commission for a rent-a-cell salesman is $250 to $550 per day per bed. The county gets $1.50 for each prisoner.
Rent-a-cell salesman. This is you can get this at, I don't even know where you can get this. Hang on a second.
Go back to the main part.
Didn't tell you what site this is from. Hang on one second.
AOL News.
AOL News, yeah. That's interesting.
It was an interesting article. Sad. What are you doing there?
I'm just writing this. This is American Fascism. Police taser video sparks anger. I don't know if I want to watch that. iPhone game slaughters humans to defend Mother Earth. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. A popular new game for the iPhone depicts a giant worm slaughtering humans and knocking airplanes out of the sky to save Mother Earth. In another shocking example of how the eco-fascists that have taken over the environmental movement are obsessed with mass genocide and gory death.
As I look out my window while typing this article, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, the trees are swaying and the birds are singing, but according to the makers of Super Mega Worm, the planet was only like this many hundreds of years ago before humans started making evil machines that belched carbon dioxide.
Yeah. So they got this damn game now on that you can play on your iPhone. It kills humans. All right, and this is on from prisonplanet.com. You can check that out.
During the
open sequence, the blue-green Earth is shown to slowly turn into a brown and gray goop. The accompanying image of environmental destruction, making clear that man is to blame for this non-existent phenomenon, following by the words, "Mother Earth is dying." But fear not, because her last defense has been unleashed in the form of a huge worm that chomps its way through children and men and women and baby strollers as blood splatters everywhere in a similar vein to the harrowing 1010 global climate change propaganda film that depicted people who refused to lower their carbon footprints being liquidated amidst an explosion of blood and guts. That was the one at the top that I refused to watch.
Horrible.
That was absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. And let's just see, let's play a little bit of this game here and see what it does. watching this video here, this game, what it does, they've got this huge giant worm
eating
everything in sight. Planes and trains and people and everything. It's pretty hideous. You can forget about that. The game, described as fun and unique by CNET, challenges the player to destroy all humans by maneuvering a giant earthworm with teeth and spikes from the soil to the sky and even into space. The worm blows up cars and airplanes while either frying humans with its flame-throwing breath or simply eating them. The worm even has the ability to bounce into space and destroy the International Space Station, an example of how eco-mentalists are obsessed with returning the planet to the Stone Age and reversing hundreds of years of technological progress. In light of the massive backlash, the organizers of the 1010 Global Campaign suffered after the release of their vile and stomach-churning propaganda piece. It can no longer be credibly argued that this kind of thing is a cutesy effort at educating people to become environmentally aware. Imagine if Hamas had created an iPhone app where a giant creature marauds around gobbling up Jews as their innards and blood spray everywhere. Do you think Apple would have allowed that game to appear in their store? And yet eco-environmentalists are regularly promoting the genocide and entire human race as it is reasonable and rational proposal. In reality, the reemergence of eugenics, described as environmentalism, is embraced by some of the leading figures of the global warming movement. People like Bill Gates have recently said that the vaccines his foundation funds for the Third World are designed to lower global population. One of the foremost gurus of the Enviro Kill cult is Finnish ecologist Panitti Linkola, who has called for a climate change deniers to be re-educated in eco-gulags and that the vast majority of humans should be killed with the rest enslaved and controlled by a green police state with the police forcibly sterilized, cars confiscated, and travel restriction to members of the elite. And having a supply of healthy food that just makes sense. Linkola calls for forced abortions, while also adding the other world war would be a happy occasion for the planet because it would eradicate tens of millions of people. The environmentalist believes that only jackbooted tyranny can help to save Mother Earth from the worst ideologies in the world, which he defines as growth and freedom. Did you want to read the rest of that? Linkola's creed.
Linkola's creed is also embraced by NASA's Dr. James Hansen, who endorsed a book written by fellow environmentalist Keith Farnish, which called for acts of sabotage and environmental terrorism, blowing up dams and demolishing cities, in order to return the planet to the agrarian age. Another prominent figure in the climate change debate who exemplifies the violent, death-obsessed belief systems of the movement is Dr. Eric R. Pienka, an American biologist based at the University of Texas in Austin. During a speech to the Texas Academy of Science in March 2006, Pienka advocated the need to exterminate 90% of the world's population through the airborne Ebola virus. The reaction from scores of top scientists and professors in attendance was one of shock and revulsion. They stood up and applauded Pienka. It was not one of shock and revulsion. They stood up and applauded Pienka's call for mass genocide.
Yes.
What is wrong with these people?
They're freaking sick. These are the kind of people we're going to have to fight to the death.
They're
trying to kill us.
The current White House czar, John P. Holdren, also advocates the most obscenely dictatorial, eco-fascist, inhumane practices in the name of environmentalism. In his 1977 eco-science textbook, Holdren calls for a planetary regime to carry out forced abortions and mandatory sterilization procedures as well as drugging the water supply in an effort to cull the human surplus.
This guy is our czar, science czar, under Obama, which is the most frightening thing that possibly be.
There can no longer be any denial that the leaders of the global warming movement see mass genocide and totalitarianism, eco-fascism as their ultimate goal. These people literally have a death wish for their own species and wish to see bloodshed on a scale that would make Hitler, Stalin, and Mao look like loving humanitarians in comparison. Now that the fraud of global warming has been stripped away, its desperate adherents are baring their teeth and in turn unraveling the world, unveiling to the world the true motivation of the climate change cult: mass slaughter on an unimaginable scale, draconian levels of control administered by a planetary regime that will completely enslave those of us who are allowed to continue to exist in this new eco-fascist hell.
Yeah. So
that was by Paul Joseph Watson, I think.
Yeah, Prison Planet. Yeah, absolutely, Scott. Absolutely frightening, and absolutely frightening. Screw you, Alex. I'm trying to share this with the world here, and you won't let me do that. How come? How come? I don't care. Alex doesn't want you to share.
No.
I don't know why you can't
share.
Hey,
what's
share.
That right there?
What?
Supra.
Oh, that that's the one we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go on. British doctor in Israel initiated Entebbe hijacked.
Oh, here's one. The video.
Military doesn't want
you
to see.
Oh, this might be interesting. We can tell you.
Let's see if they're... It's tough to do just audio on a video,
yeah.
So let's we'll see if that makes any sense. But.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, the video the U.S. military doesn't want you to see. All right, so let's see what they don't want me to see. Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy. That was said by Henry Kissinger.
Flags are bits of colored cloth that governments use first to shrink wrap people's brains, and then as ceremonial shrouds to bury the dead.
The U.S. military as an institution is very corrupt and is built upon spreading death. To me, the idea of having a force like the U.S. Army participating in nation building is just asinine. I mean, we're nation destroyers. That's what we're trained to do.
We were all congratulated after we had our first kills. My company commander personally congratulated me. This is the same individual who has stated that whoever gets their first kill by stabbing them to death will get a 4-day pass when we return from Iraq.
I've heard numerous circumstances of civilians getting killed and then, soldiers and Marines subsequently placing weapons on their bodies or placing wire.
Army Private First Class Lavina Johnson would have turned 23 this month, but 3 years ago, the African-American teenager from Missouri was found dead in Wadera, just a few weeks short of her 20th birthday. Her body was found in a tent belonging to the private military contractor Kellogg Brown and Root. She had abrasions all over her body, a broken nose, a black eye, burned hands, loose teeth, acid burns on her genitals, a bullet hole in her head. The Army labeled Lavina Johnson's death a suicide. They told her parents she died of self-inflicted non-combat injuries.
Okay. No, say it again what happened.
Say what?
You know, like, what was going on? What was like being a guard there?
Barker's statement, he and another soldier took it in turns
to rape the 40-year-old girl. In another room, the girl's parents and 5-year-old sister were shot dead. Barton's statement said Arthur Green had killed the 2 adults and the little girl. He came into the room where the teenager was being sexually assaulted. He had an AK-47 rifle in his hand. He said, "They're all dead. I killed them." He put the weapon down, raped the 14-year-old, and then shot her dead too. Before they left, they poured kerosene over the girl's body and set it alight. They returned to their checkpoint. As Barker said, he grilled some chicken wings.
4 years ago, at the age of 19, Ms. Jamie Lee Jones signed a contract to become an employee of KBR, then a Halliburton subsidiary. Ms. Jones arrived in Iraq in July of 2005 and was housed in barracks with 400 men and only a few women. 4 days after her arrival, Ms. Jones was drugged and gang raped. After Ms. Jones reported the rape to her supervisors, she was locked in a shipping container with an armed guard and prohibited any contact with the outside world. They locked her in a container.
According to the Center for Defense Information, 51% of your federal income taxes go specifically to military spending, not health care or education, but war.
Your puppy.
One of an increasing number born with disabilities since the war, like this. Massive growth which was rapidly spreading across the little girl's face. Case after case of differing deformities without any real explanation, except their parents' suspicions that the deformities were caused by chemicals such as white phosphorus used by the Americans during the war.
Demanding respect for their humanity. They are labeled insurgents or terrorists who are resisting rape and pillage by the white establishment, but they are our brothers and sisters in the struggle for justice. The civilians at the other end of our weapons don't have a choice, but American soldiers have choices. And while there may have been some doubt 5 years ago, today we know the truth. Our soldiers don't sacrifice for duty, honor, country. They sacrifice for Kellogg, Brown, and Root. They don't fight for America. They fight for their lives, and their buddies beside them because we put them in a war zone. They're not defending our freedom. They're laying the foundation for 14 permanent military bases to defend the freedoms of ExxonMobil and British Petroleum. They're not establishing democracy. They're establishing the basis for an economic occupation to continue after the military occupation has ended. Iraqi society today, thanks to American help, is defined by house raids, death squads, checkpoints, detentions, curfews, blood in the streets, and constant violence. We must dare to speak out in support of the Iraqi people who resist and endure the horrific existence we brought upon them through our bloodthirsty imperial crusade. We must dare to speak out in support of those American war resisters, the real military heroes, who uphold their oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, including those terrorist cells in Washington, D.C., more commonly known as the legislative, executive, and judicial branches. Says, those who profess to favor freedom and yet appreciate agitation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both, but it must be a struggle. Power can keep nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Every one of us, keep demanding. No justice, no peace.
I think they were selling
a lawsuit.
I think so, yeah.
How
does Del? I saw a picture of her there. I think it was her. Dahlia is, we've had her on a show before, and we should have her again. I know that she's writing a book right now, it's a remarkable spokeswoman. Ecuador coup attempts engineered by the CIA. 23 million Americans have had their taxes increased an average of $39,000 this year, but may not know it yet. You want to read that one? 23 million Americans have had their taxes increased an average of $3,900 this year, but may not know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 23 million American households already had their federal taxes raised by an average of $3,900 this year, but may not know it yet. They could get a big surprise when they prepare their tax returns next year.
Mm.
Among those subject to this already in place tax increase are from families making less than $50,000 per year.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And virtually all married couples earning between $100,000 per year and $500,000 per year, according to data published by the Congressional Budget Office. This despite the fact that President Obama has promised not to increase taxes on any individual earning less than $200,000 per year or any household earning less than $250,000 per year. If that's the case, how come they're going to be seeing a $3,900 increase on an average? The insidious tax hike is contrary to President Barack Obama's repeated promise not to increase tax on individual earnings. This tax increase on almost 23 million people will happen if Congress does not quickly pass legislation that temporarily increases the amount of income and exempt from the American minimum tax.
Hmm.
The temporary reprieve passed by Congress for each of the past 9 years expired on December 31st, 2009, and so far Congress has not extended that tax.
So that's why the taxes will go up.
That's right. According to the CBO, an estimated 4.5 million American households were subject to the AMT in 2009, and 27.2 million are now liable to pay the the AMT for the 2010 tax year until Congress acts before December 31st.
Uh-oh.
Until under current law, at least 22.7 million American households did not have to pay AMT last year will have to pay it on the income they have been earning since January 1st of this year. And repealing the AMT completely and permanently would add $626 billion to the federal debt over the next 10 years, according to CBO. The AMT was enacted in 69 as intended to impose
taxes.
Oh,
I remember that.
Yeah. Enacted in 1969 was intended to impose taxes on high-income individuals
mm-hmm.
who use deductions and loopholes to reduce or eliminate their liability under the regular income tax. Because the tax has not been adjusted for inflation since then, additional families at progressively low income levels become subject to the tax each year.
Yeah, that's not right.
No. And the tax especially hits married couples with children and mortgages because of the deductions and credits they are allowed under federal tax laws. Because of the particular tax preference and exemptions allowed under the AMT, the tax structure is more likely to affect marriage couples, large families, and taxpayers in states with high state and local taxes, says CBO.
Past Congresses and presidents have chosen to enact protective one-year patches that temporarily increase the income threshold subject to the AMT, thus protecting between 10 and 30 million Americans from the tax. So far this year, Congress, which adjourned last week, has failed to take action on the matter. If Congress fails to renew the patch before December 31st, according to CBO, the 27 million Americans subjected to the AMT this year will see the tax bills raised by an average of $3,900. Of the households that will be hit with the AMT this year under current law, according to CBO, 3% of the households making less than $50,000 a year, 35% are households making between $50,000 and $100,000 per year, and 47% are households making between $100,000 and $200,000 per year, and 14% are households making between $200,000 and $500,000 a year. As the law now stands, virtually all married couples in America earning between $100,000 and $500,000 will be hit with the AMT this year on income they started earning 10 months ago, if nothing has changed this year. 1 in 6 taxpayers will be affected by the AMT, paying on average an additional $3,900 in tax. And nearly every married taxpayer with an income between $100,000 and $500,000 will owe some alternative tax.
Pete Seep, Executive Vice President of National Taxpayer Union, says that failure to renew the AMT patch could disproportionately hit middle-class families. Of the 20 to 30 million taxpayers who might get hit with AMT due Congress inaction, the majority of them would be middle-class. Sepp told CNSNews.com that the vast majority would consist of solidly middle-class taxpayers.
Moreover, the increased tax bill will come at the worst possible time, Sepp said. Families especially are experiencing low tax liabilities because they have lower incomes, he said. The AMT, ironically, would work in an almost contrary manner because there would be, for example, households where one of the breadwinners lost their job or had to reduce their hours and would be reporting less hours, but they still may be taking the same number of exemptions and deductions for all their kids for various other household property or operation. Business that they may have. They might still be claiming the same number and types of deduction and credits, but on an even lower income. Jill Villamoria, spokesman for the Republican minority on the House Ways and Means Committee, told CNSNews.com that failure to renew the patch would amount to a broken promise by President Obama, who made a pledge not to raise taxes on the middle class. Raising taxes on millions of families during a recession with the unemployment rate stuck near 10% not only breaks President Obama's tax pledge, but is the wrong formula for economic growth, Villamoria said in an email. When questioned about why Congress is having such difficulty extending the AMT patch, Sepp pointed to the failure by many in the public and the media to grasp the severity of the situation. why a policy that has so many horrendous implications for the middle class is allowed to bumble along like this until the final months of the year is unclear, he told CNSNews.com. This is something that we've had to do a lot of educational work on, not only with the public but with the media, because this is the sort of being lumped in with the 2200, 2003 tax rate extensions, and those affect the year 2011 for returns filed in 2012. The AMP affects 2010 returns filed next year, so in this sense it's far more urgent, and in fact the IRS probably won't be able to retool its operations quickly enough to allow for smooth filing season for people with AMT issues. Brian Ellis, Tax Policy Director for Americans for Tax Reform 2, told CNSNews.com there may be political motives behind the failure by the Democratic majority to enact a patch. If the Democrats wanted to get rid of the AMT and do so without having to worry about all of the tax increases and not worrying about PAYGO and just get rid of it, that would get 400 votes in the House, Ellis said. It would get the votes of virtually every Republican, virtually every Democrat. But a Congress that simply voted to eliminate the AMT without making equivalent spending cuts would be adding to the $626 billion to the 10-year deficit the CBO estimates as the cost of such a move.
Hey, well, it gets scarier and scarier, but I'll tell you, it make a lot of sense anyway.
Well, we're just coming right down to the end there. Do we have a quick little video?
Yeah, I'm looking for one. Evidence refutes BP and Fed's deception. In August, conducted soil and water samples in Pass Christian Harbor, Mississippi, and Grand Isle, Louisiana, and around barrier islands of the coast of Louisiana in order to test for the presence of oil from BP Macondo well. Laboratory tests results from the samples taken in these areas show extremely high concentrations of oil in both the soil and water. These results contradict consistent claims made by the federal government and BP since early August that much of the Gulf of Mexico is now free of oil and safe for fish and recreational use.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We've been trying to report on this for every week on this thing for you, so this is just another report. But the sample taken were tested by private laboratory via gas chromatography. The environmental analyst who worked with this writer did so on condition of anonymity and performed a micro extraction at tests for total protection carbohydrates.
No, total petroleum hydrocarbons.
The lower reporting limit the analyst is able to detect from a solid sample is 550 parts per billion, a million. The water sample from the side pass Christian Harbor, Mississippi, taken August 13th, contains 611 parts per million of TPH, seawater that is free of oil, would test at zero. Soil sample containing tar balls in the beach contained 39,364 parts per million.
This is still a problem.
Yeah, a water sample taken in August 16th from a pool of water on Castet Isle contained 57 parts per million. And the GPS coordinates for this and the following samples are, I don't know, they give you some, they give you, I guess it's north by northwest or something. Coordinates for this and the following samples. Sampling team on oil soap beach. There's a couple of pictures here going on. But they haven't made any headway. These things are, these pictures are horrendous. We're out of time, but I'm going to ask everybody if they'd like to. You can go to get this news from davidicke.com. Check out his headlines. It's an excellent site. Highly recommend it. And get it from there, and you can check out these articles that we read tonight. And we thank David Icke website for that remarkable information. So, that's
good night, folks, and have a good night.
And, yes, then join us tomorrow night when we enter the fourth dimension. And we'll see you later.